Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you for listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Tafwe Naioni, also known to some as Shirley. Ladies, this is the show that you have been waiting for. My special guest today is Dr. Al Duane Tart. He's a clinical psychologist from Georgia. Dr. Tart is a devoted father, community servant, and humanitarian. He currently serves on the board of directors for the 100 Black Men organization of DeKalb, Georgia, and previously served as vice president on the board of directors for an organization called Family First. Okay, let me turn this off. I'm sorry. And Dr. Tart is also licensed as a positive psychologist in Georgia. He is the author of the book, The Ring Formula, How to Marry Mr. Right. And we definitely want to know how to do that. So, ladies, I suggest you get a paper and pencil. If you don't have the book, I've been pushing this book, so hopefully you have your book. If not, you can still order it. You can either go to Dr. Tart's site at drtart.com and order it directly through his site or also on amazon.com. Dr. Tart is also a motivational speaker, and he is the owner and CEO of a company called Visionary Minds, Inc. He has successfully worked for more than 500 clients in Georgia, California, and Michigan. He's also a Morehouse man, and he was one of the youngest African Americans to receive his PhD in clinical psychology from the University of Michigan. So the chat room is open, and Dr. Tart?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am excellent. I am
Thanks
so
for
honored
me
to have
on.
You.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too, and I'm honored to have you on. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for agreeing to do the show.
Hey, no problem.
We already have a traffic jam in the chat room. We have four people in the chat room. I'd like to say hi to guest number 973, Amanda, and guest number 958. I do have to warn you, though, I am not that technologically savvy, so just be patient with me with the chat room. But please submit any questions or comments that you may have for Dr. Tart. I'll try to read them as we engage in our conversation. So thanks again for calling in. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Sunny weather down here in Atlanta. And I'm ready to get the ladies, you know, what they're looking for the holidays.
Hey, and we're ready to hear what you have to tell us for the holidays so we can get our Christmas presents.
That's right, right. Get that ring on that man tree.
get our act together real quick, huh?
That's right. It's not as hard as what people think.
And it really doesn't. It really isn't. And I've been reading your book, and I am just so amazed. You seem to be so passionate about helping women understanding what a man is really thinking and where we're missing it. And it's so fundamental. But I think for the most part, we get so stuck in our ways, in our mentalities, in our habits, that, you know, sometimes we don't allow or receive other information that will help us grow and learn how to be the best that we can be in any kind of a relationship.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Specifically the man-woman relationship, and that's what we're here to focus on today.
Well, I'm ready.
And so one of the things I like is a quote that you said, that the greatest challenge is not finding greatness in others, it is getting them to see it for themselves. And that motto is so evident in your book, The Ring Formula. Again, I'll say it again, that you are so passionate about helping women to step up their game and begin dating with the wife mentality.
That is right, Taylor, you're right, because a lot of women feel that they are already, you know, at wife status, but once you start talking to them for 5 or 10 minutes, they realize, wow, there's a lot that I can do to start attracting better men into their lives. It's not about us. I know this sounds crazy coming from a man, but dating is not about us. It is absolutely about the woman. The woman has full control, And the women that know it, they have no problems, you know, getting men to pursue them and pop the big question.
Mm-hmm. But the women that know it, though, do you think they're using their physical appearance to attract these men? You know, because I know a lot of beautiful women that have it together, but they just can't seem to hold on to a man more than a couple of months.
What are they doing?
So they're missing the formula somewhere. Something's
well, you
not...
know, it's not all about physical. I mean, men are definitely visual. We
mm-hmm.
definitely, you know, love beautiful women, especially women that know it, that carry themselves. And beauty is, it's more about inner and outer beauty. But after a while, it's the woman. It's her characteristics,
mm-hmm.
you know, that keep you around for the rest of your life. You can find eye candy all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But can you find a woman that's going to love you, you know, stronger than your mother? Now that's where you start getting into rare air.
So a man is looking for a woman that has the same characteristics pretty much as his mother.
Absolutely. You know, we're nothing but big babies. We are big babies. And I'm not saying we're looking, you know, for someone that's just like mama. I mean, I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are definitely looking for a wife that can love us as strong as our mom.
Absolutely.
And that's why you have grown men that, regardless of mom characteristics, that will do anything that she says at any point in time.
Absolutely. And that is so. I have one question ready for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Amanda in the chat room, tell Dr. Tarr to check his. Okay, tell Dr. Tarr to check his email because I'd like some advice myself. Thanks. Well, he can't check it right now, Amanda, so he'll have to get back with you on that. But she says, thanks for sharing the ring formula.
Hey, yeah, go ahead and tell her to send me a question through the chat line, and we don't have to say it's from her. How about that?
Okay.
A lot of women, you know, I get a lot of emails from people that have personal questions, and I have no problems answering them. But since she has me right now, I can answer it. I just won't, you know, we don't need to know it comes from her.
Absolutely.
You can put this to work tonight. It's Saturday.
Wow, we have an hour and 22 minutes. She should be able to formulate a question in that period of time.
Hey, that's right.
But to veer a little bit from the topic, and I wanted to say this in the introduction, and I didn't get a chance to, you're a Morehouse man, and you had an experience while you were at Morehouse College, and I'm going somewhere with that you witnessed something with a young scholar?
Yeah, when I actually started Morehouse before I finished high school. I was in high school at Morehouse around the same time for maybe about a week or so because they had a summer program started up before I actually graduated. And, you know, senior year, you really don't do anything the last couple of weeks anyway. You're pretty much practicing for graduation and, you know, so on and so forth. So we started there, and it was a young guy by the name of Oshari Diallo from California who was 15 years old, child prodigy. And we went out to celebrate. We were going to a high school party. We were going to hook him up with some girls. And we stopped at McDonald's, and the young lady in the drive-thru had a boyfriend, and her boyfriend was behind us. And one of the guys in my car tried to get her number. She turned him down. She ended up telling her boyfriend behind us, and he rolled up on us and shot and killed Oshari Diallo. No words were exchanged. He just pulled up, shot. I don't think he meant to hurt anyone, but he hit Oshari, and he died on the spot.
Wow.
A scholar, I mean, just the smartest guy in the crew, just life, you know, wasted,
and,
you know,
for
no reason.
And you had an epiphany as a result of it also.
You know, we sat around, you know, it was five of us, you know, including Oshar, and we said, why would God allow the most talented and most gifted of all of us to be taken and the most innocent for no reason, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I decided at that point to dedicate my life towards, you know, psychology and helping other people. And violence, you know, violence prevention, and I've been doing it ever since. You know, I don't believe that people die for no reason. You know, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Absolutely.
So I figured the best I could do was, you know, prevent other young men from doing the same thing by trying to intervene at an early age.
Mm-hmm.
Tie-in to women is, you know, I'm laughing, I'm joking about it, but in all seriousness, you know, there are a lot of people who are lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And lonely for no reason. Now, I know that God is the one that, you know, is in control of when you get married and chemistry, but I'm a firm believer that if you're active and if you know what you're doing and if you can love a man the way God loves you, you're going to have men for days because they're looking for it. They're looking for that love.
Mm-hmm. And that's I think that's the most important relationship that we can have, first and foremost, is establishing that relationship with Christ. And once you've done that, you have the capacity to love yourself first, and then you're able to give to somebody else. One of the things that you seem to emphasize over and over and over is that as women, we have to work on ourselves. We have to deal with our issues. And a lot of times, you know, we jump from one relationship to another relationship, and we have all these unresolved issues. We take all these baggages into these relationships, and then a lot of times we hold that other person responsible for something somebody else did to us.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. We have to work on ourselves. As men, we do the same things as well. But when we walk, you know, we have a godly walk and we take that into a relationship, that's a strong love. And, you know, and I want to give an example. Okay. Let's get right into it.
Mm-hmm.
There are women that say, okay, you know what, Dr. Tart, I'm ready. I'm a great woman. I'm ready to date like a wife, but the men are not coming. And I say, okay, let me give you an example of what men mean when they say the difference between a wife and a girlfriend. Okay, so you've been telling me to come home from work 2-3 weeks in a row, and the third week in a row, I'm supposed to be home at 7:30, but I come in at 7:45. And, you know, you tell me, hey, you're not going to tolerate it. I had better get my act together, and this is unacceptable, and you go to bed, and we're kind of distant. That's what a girlfriend does. What a girlfriend who wants to be your wife does is completely the opposite. When I come in at 7:45, she's cooked my best meal. She actually has some dessert, you know. We go upstairs. If we're married, of course, we make love. And then towards the end, she's like, baby, I need you to value me. When I say 7:45, I mean, when I say 7:30, I need you home at 7:30. She handles me with her softness
mm-hmm.
to a point where I say, look, you know, I have the best woman in the world. You know, 99% of women would have, you know, acted a fool with me coming in. I need to step my game up to keep this beautiful woman on my arms. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you I'm coming home tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Because, you know, it's that you have to give first. It's that giving mentality.
Yeah.
And a lot of women say, I don't want to give. I don't want to give because, you know, what does a man give? What I say is that when you give and you treat a man that deserves your love the right way, he will take care of you tenfold.
Absolutely. And that's key, deserve your love, because sometimes we tend to get into relationships with people that we have nothing in common with. And I think people tend to stay in relationships a lot longer than they should.
No, you're right. Sometimes, and I understand it, sometimes we're thirsty. I mean, I'll be honest. If you're thirsty and you go to the grocery store, you'll buy anything. You'll buy stuff you don't even like. You know, same thing in relationships. The holidays are coming up. You know, we want to go to Christmas parties with someone we care about. You know, it's cold. You want to cuddle up with someone you like. You want to go to the movies. You know, Christmas carol, time with family. And you know what? That brother at the water cooler is starting to look a lot nicer than he did in May. And so we settle and we get involved in relationships with people we have no business even communicating with.
One of the questions I just got in the chat room is, when a man is in a relationship with one woman that he feels is the one for him, but then meets another woman he feels is for him, how does he handle that situation?
How does he handle that?
How
does this is a man that has two women?
Yeah. I don't know if she meant how does he handle that or how does she handle that.
Okay, I can tell you how the woman should handle it. You know, any woman that is dating him strong, giving him 100%, and he goes out and he dates another woman, she needs to leave immediately, and she needs to leave with roller skates on. The reason I say that is that if you hang around and you tolerate him dating another woman, then you're causing him to devalue you. If you leave and you say you're not going to tolerate, and you know that what you're offering, another man will come along and take you up on being a dynamic woman. You know, men are suckers for dynamic women. Dynamic women never stay single for very long because they are in rare air. And if you're convinced that you're dynamic, instead of hanging around and playing the other woman or a top woman or a main lady or whatever term you want to use, you need to go. Because what's going to happen is he's going to realize you're gone and either he's going to chase or another man's going to take his place. Either way, you don't care. No way you're settling for less.
And the dynamic woman exudes that confidence, and she's comfortable in her skin, in other words.
Oh, absolutely.
She's not compromising that to be with anybody.
That's right, and that's what men need. Men need to chase. A dynamic woman can just walk by and smile, and she has the man already. You know, a lot of women say, well, I can't attract men. I say, what are you doing? It's very easy to attract men, but most of it starts, like you said, at home, knowing that you're dynamic. Getting rid of your insecurities, you knowing that when you go out and dress, men are going to approach you because you have a beautiful spirit and you're very attractive. And you know you can love him stronger than any other woman he's going to meet that night. Men can feel that.
We have a caller on the line. I'm going to open up the line. You can go ahead and continue your thought.
All right.
Calling.
So it's kind of like, I'm here.
I have a caller from the 404 area code.
Oh, that's my hometown, Atlanta, Georgia.
Hello.
Dr. Tartt.
Yes.
Caller, you're on the line with Dr. Tartt. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I just wanted to let him know that I love this book.
Oh, thank you. Who's calling in?
Do you want to give us your name, please?
This is Elle Dockery.
Hey, Elle, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
Good. I just wanted to support you and let you know that we were listening to you, and I loved your book, and I will continue to support you.
I appreciate it. How you doing Saturday?
It's great. Everything is awesome.
Now, Elle, you already have a man in your life. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. I do have a husband of 4 years, and the book still helps me out. Just get the basics of what I didn't understand or didn't realize when I was married, or when I was dating him, I'm sorry. And it's still helping me out, and I'm still learning a lot about men. You guys in general are definitely great creatures that God's created. And I love it. I love it. It's still helping me out, and I'm definitely growing in what I need to do, and our relationship is getting better.
Well,
so you're using the book to enhance your relationship.
Definitely.
Excellent.
Well, I appreciate the love. That's what it's all about. You know, you still have to date your man and date your woman, even when you're married. That's how you keep it fresh.
And that's an excellent point, because I think a lot of women feel once they got the man, that's it. You know, they tend to let themselves go. They gain a couple of pounds. Things start falling out all over the place. And then they forget to nurture that relationship.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And it's kind of easy to do, I mean, especially if you have children. Because what happens is, you know, you're taking the kids to gymnastics, to soccer, and then you're working, and he might be outside cutting the grass, and then you look up 2-3 months, you all have not had a single date. The romance is gone, and you start seeing marriage is more like a chore than a blessing. And it happens with a lot of couples, is that they don't know how to put the marriage. The marriage comes first before the children. And a lot of men try to tell their wives that, and the wives are like, no. You know, I have to take care of the kids, and the man gets jealous. I told you we're babies. You know, we get jealous of the kids. And then that's when you start having people step outside the relationship, or they lose that zest, or they lose that romance, and then eventually the friendship fades. And when you have no friendship, you have no relationship. It's doomed.
Is there another comment that you'd like to make, LJ?
No, there's not. I'm going to go ahead and just finish listening to you guys. I just wanted to show my support and tell Dr. Tartt that I love him.
Well, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Elle. Thanks for the support and all you do. All right, and make sure that you and that man go on a date tonight.
We definitely will. We have something planned tonight as well.
Excellent.
Okay.
And get the book for your single girlfriends, too.
Oh, I have it already. I'll pass it along to you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So when we come into a relationship with so much residual baggage from the previous relationships, the same thing, like you said, can be said about men. Now, once they've been betrayed or left brokenhearted, when the love of their life leaves them, sometimes they put up that proverbial wall and make other women suffer as a consequence of that. So how does a woman get through to a man that has that type of an attitude?
Once again, you know, and you know what happens? That happens when we allow lust and infatuation to kind of take over too early. So we're dating. We don't really get to know him. Things are going well. And then we found out three months later, because we let the relationship go too fast, we're in love with a man that has significant baggage or a man that's just straight up crazy, I'll be honest. But it's too late because we're already invested emotionally. And so we find ourselves being caught up. You know, the best thing to do is that when you have, you know, a partner whose baggage is interfering with the relationship, you know, stop right then and there and say, look, there's some things you need to work out. You might want to work that out in therapy. You might want to get yourself together because it can't contaminate our relationship. And let's just be friends until you work it out. That is extremely hard to do, but it absolutely helps the man realize I have to work some things out before I ruin this relationship.
And if he's willing to do that, and the same thing for a woman, if they're willing to do that, because sometimes they don't think that it's anything wrong, and they hold on to these attitudes, and something they have to have the lightning strike before they recognize, I have to change my ways. You know, you can't keep, I think I heard somebody say the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And so if you've been doing what you've been doing for so many years and keep getting the same result, at some point you have to realize, wait, look, it's not just the other person, it's me, and I need to go out and get Dr. Tartt's book and find out what the problem is.
I mean, no, Shelley, you're right. You know what happens? Is we don't want to lose anything. We're already in love. And we figure a little bit of a good thing is better than nothing. But in reality, it's not, because you've stopped yourself at only getting 20% of what you deserve. You know, it's better just to say, look, I mean, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to have to be on the move. I deserve better, and I'm going to go out and get better. And if you happen to be that better man, then you need to, you know, not, you don't need to step up, because men don't like that kind of language. Then when you step up, I'll respond. So many women get stuck with men they have no business with, and same thing with men. They stay in relationships with women, and the relationship is just too hard because they end up having to try and deal with that person's baggage when they could have gone on, you know, been somewhere else and met someone that was ready for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We get too caught up in one person versus realizing that God has many people for us to meet.
Absolutely. And I think also, Dr. Tartt, that women, you know, like you said, they get in relationships for all the wrong reasons, sex, money, companionship. They don't want to be alone. And they do just settle for anything and anybody that comes along. And I've seen and I know too many women who do that. And then all they do is cry and complain about the way this guy is. And you can tell them, you know, you can have anybody tell them, well, look, you know, analyze the relationship, analyze you. What is it that you want out of a relationship? But for whatever reason, they still feel committed to that person, and they don't get out of that relationship, and they stay in it for years and years and years. How do you get through to somebody like that? Or do they just have to go through that process and come to that realization for themselves?
Well, I mean, sometimes we do have to go through it. But the focus is, I take the focus off of the man, because as long as they focus on the man, they don't have to accept any personal accountability for themselves. So when we start talking about being dynamic and what it is that they want, you know, especially when they come off heartbreak, that's the best time for them to read the book and to actually take action. Sometimes we don't take action until we're in pain. And when you talk about being a dynamic woman is never going to sit still as her man cheats on her. She's never going to sit still as he continues to call her back 3 and 4 days later. She's never going to sit still as he continues to give her only a percentage of the love that she's given him. I mean, she's going to be patient, but at some point she's going to say, you know what, I'm too dynamic to stay in this particular relationship. I know that I'm dynamic enough that if I deal with the heartbreak of breaking up with this guy, I know that in a couple of months, maybe in a couple of weeks, you know, God's going to send the one for me. He didn't make me dynamic to get with someone that's not going to appreciate me. And sometimes we get so caught up in the person, once again, we forget that, hey, I mean, there's other fish in the sea. And some of them are bigger, better, and love stronger. I'm going to go find one.
And
I'm serious. I refuse to settle.
Absolutely. And because I believe a relationship is a partnership. You know, you both have to have a common goal. And it takes work. Any relationship takes work. And it's a team. You're a team. I have a question I need to – okay. Another question in the chat room is, why is it hard for a man to find Mrs. Right?
Wow. You know what? And that's a good question. And that leads me to, you know, I'm going to answer that question. But this is the number one thing I want to tell women, especially, you know, my African-American sisters. You know, they say, some say there are no good men out there. They can't find good men, or we want to be players or too many of us are gay or bisexual on a down low. Mm. When you believe that, you'll never attract the good man that you're looking for. Okay? You'll never, ever attract him because you don't believe he exists. You know? When you don't believe that he exists, then you don't really put much effort into finding him, and you put out kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of an air. When you put out an air that, I don't want to get in trouble, but I'm going to go ahead and speak on it.
Speak on
Every time I go out, you know, I see women out, and I walk up to them, and I say, hey, why are you out? You know, and eventually they'll confide in me that, you know, they're hoping that they meet someone, you know, new. But if they don't, they want to have a good time. And I said, let me give you some honest, loving feedback. There is no way I would have approached you because you look mean. You look so mean and you look so mad. And they say, well, I am, you know. I don't want these, you know, sorry men coming up to me. Every time I go up, I meet someone that takes me through changes.
But doesn't that depend on the environment? I mean, if you're out club hopping and you got those guys that are out there looking to pick up women for one-night stands or whatever, I mean, can you really expect to find a good man hanging out in a bar?
You know what? I have found from experience, from women having different success, you can find a good man anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you can find a terrible man at church on the front row. You can find the worst of the worst, you know. It's really about your spirit, you know, and asking God for discernment about who he brings into your life so that you can see them for what they really are, you know. But getting back to the original question is that there are so many single, available Christian men that are looking to settle down, and the only reason that they're single is that they are looking for the one. They're looking for a woman to call their wife. Yes, they will date, and they will tell, you know, other women, yeah, I'm not interested, I'm busy, I'm working, you know, not right now, let's just be friends and see where it goes. But when that dynamic woman enters into his life, he changes up his whole game.
Mm-hmm.
He changes his work schedule around, he calls her, even in the middle of a meeting, if she text messaging, he text messages back, I'm in a meeting, talk to you later. He changes the whole game because she is rare. That's what I want women to understand. When you get to that point where you're as dynamic as you can be and you enter into a man's life, you know, and love him the same way I talk about in the ring formula, he's not going anywhere. Because to date another woman after that point will be a step down. Who wants to do that? And that's why men that get married usually say, I knew within the first month, first week, sometime in the first 5 or 10 minutes, that she had the potential to be my wife, and it had everything to do with how she carried herself.
Mm.
And that's what a lot of women miss out on. They think that they have to give men sex, or they think that they have to completely give up who they are as a person, you know, give up their whole personality for the man, lose their voice. No, when you are confident in who you are to the 100% degree, men will get with you and change their ways.
So then a woman could change a man then, or his way.
Well, here we go.
Did I open up a can of worms on that one?
Yeah, you did. You did. You cannot change a man.
But I mean, you not unless he wants to, though.
Right.
Like, I think a man pretty much has in his mind what he's looking for in a woman. And if he's out there, you know, playing the field, exercising all his options, and I guess, like you said, when he finds the one who has the potential, then maybe he would be willing to give up, you know, his wandering eye, so to speak?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and to be honest, you know, having multiple women is overrated. Most men don't like it. They don't like it, especially around Christmas time, Valentine's, birthday. They don't remember who they told what to. I'm serious. It's just too much.
It's hard to keep up with it all, huh?
It's too much. It's too much. Dealing with one woman is a lot of emotion. You have to know how to handle her emotionally. You start dealing with two and three and four women emotionally, that's enough to stress a man out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When he finds the one that he's looking for, he's willing to invest everything in her. You know, now, there are some guys that, you know, do have issues that just can't commit. I say, don't, you know, this is about dating Mr. Right. I didn't say anything about dating Mr. Wrong. I say leave him alone. But if you find the one that's looking for you, you know, that's appreciating you, you're loving him and loving him strong, he's not going anywhere.
Absolutely.
And he's not going anywhere because you know he's not going anywhere. It's all about your confidence.
Absolutely. I'd like to give out the call-in numbers for those who are listening. If you'd like to call in with a question, because I can't keep up with this chat room. I'm sorry. The call-in number is 646-716-5180 if you have a question or a comment for Dr. Tartt. Again, the number is 646-716-5180. And I do have a couple of questions in the chat room. One of the chat room persons is asking, when you're dating, should you always be available when the man calls, or does that make you seem desperate?
Oh, wow. I think, all right, this is a slippery slope. All right, this is why I don't advocate game playing. There are a lot of women that say, all right, if he calls, pick up every other time, you know, or every three times. They had these formulas. And the men can always tell, you know, because it's not genuine. It's not authentic. Here's what I say. When you're dynamic, you are taking care of yourself in a major way. You know, you're doing things. You don't answer the phone every time because you're not available. For real. You know, you're doing something with the church. You're at the family reunion. You're kickboxing. You're swimming. You're doing something at work. You're always doing something to take care of your needs, you know. And so you're busy. You're not just sitting at home waiting on the man to be your best friend, your husband, your father, you know, your entertainment. And so when men realize that you have other things going on and maybe even other options as far as dating, they will continue to call until they reach you and make sure that when they date that you pick up for them. So absolutely, the best way to be unavailable is to be busy, but not too busy. There's some women that have to fill their lives, I think, to make up for not having a man, that when they do find a man, they're too busy to even date him.
Absolutely. And the same thing with guys, too. And that's been the biggest problem for me, dating guys who are always too busy. But with me, I'm like, it's about priorities. You know, I'm never too busy for somebody that, well, for my kids, first of all, and if I'm trying to develop a relationship with somebody, I'm never too busy for that person. Like you said, it only takes about, a couple of seconds to return a phone call or respond to an email. So, you know, that's the theme of today. Everybody is busy, but we have to have our priorities in order as well. You know,
yeah, that is
important,
true.
Especially if you're trying to develop a relationship with somebody.
Hey, you're absolutely right, you know, and that's why you have to be on the move. See, when you're on the move, a man has to pick up speed to get with you. You know, there are a lot of women that are just sitting still like, oh, when a man comes, oh, come on, please come into my life. And he can feel that. But when you're on the move, even though he's busy, I mean, he's looking at whatever he has to do at work, and he's looking at you slowly walk away in the distance, and he's saying, wow, I may never meet a woman like that again. And she's on the move, and she's not waiting on me, so let me go ahead and catch up with her. I can get this work later. Let me take care of her, all right? And once I take care of her, I can work later.
Because I definitely don't advocate for anybody sitting around waiting for the phone to ring.
Oh, no, never do that, because we don't respect it.
No.
And I talk about, you know, I know men well, being one. We don't respect it. If we know there's a certain, like, for instance, if the three or four women that you can call, there is one woman that says, do not call me after 10:30. Mm-hmm. If you call me at 10:30, you know, nothing's happening. She gets the call at 9:30 clockwork. But the one that's cool with whenever you call her, we'll call her last. She's the last one you call because you know she's so cool. I'm serious. Men need to be disciplined. I'm going to be honest. We like it. We like that management. We like having to upgrade ourselves. If a woman walks by and looks at us and smiles and then we walk, we need to kind of be questioned. You know, so what do you bring to the table? You know, here's who I am. I'm a dynamic woman. I'm going to love you strong. I'm going to take care of you. You know, I'm going to cook. I'm going to be opinionated. You know, I love children. She's so dynamic. We start saying, okay, let me go ahead and get rid of some of these women I'm talking about. Let me go ahead and get myself back in church. You know, let me upgrade myself so that I deserve a woman like that. And that is what most men are looking for in a wife, someone that makes them want to change and upgrade. That's where all the power is with the women.
I have another question for somebody in the chat room. They're asking, why is there a double standard in sex and relationships between men and women?
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a good question. Because men and women see sex differently. You know, in general, women give sex for love, and men give love for sex. It does not mean the same thing. It is possible for most men to have sex without there being an emotional connection. Now, women can do it as well, but it's extremely difficult for them to do that. And there are a lot of women that say, I have needs, you know, why can't we go ahead, you know, and engage in sex? I like him. He likes me. We can still have a relationship. And then they find out it does not work out. You know, the guy's all of a sudden not calling. He's changed. He doesn't work as hard. I mean, you used to call him, and he'd call you right back. Now he calls you a couple hours later, maybe the next day. Sex changes things. Men actually expect you to make them wait. And this is when we start getting into the biblical principle of abstinence, you know. It's actually there for a reason, you know, because a lot of times we get caught up in infatuation and our needs being met. I mean, sex can be completely all about one person. The other person really doesn't need to be there, you know, if you're not in love. It's really about getting your needs met. And once a man has his needs met and he hasn't had an opportunity to fall in love or know who you are, once he gets his needs met, it's like a hungry man. He's not coming back to eat until he's hungry.
Wow.
It's just that. And he said, you shouldn't have fed me so early. It's true, and I want to keep women from being hurt. But it gets to the point where sometimes we can even be cold and cruel about it. It's like, look, you know how we are. You know, I told you when we met what it was all about. You know, we met quite early, and we engaged in sex rather early. And now that we did that, I don't have any feelings for you. I'm sorry, I just don't feel that way.
And you think most women would know that by now. But what about when you're in a relationship with somebody and you've held out, you haven't had sex right off the bat, 6 or 7 or 8 months down the line, you decide to, maybe a year or so down the line, you decide to. And then you find out that this person isn't really looking for a serious relationship that's going to lead to marriage.
You know what? That's a great question. You ask him straight up, when you first meet, what are your priorities and what are you looking to do? And this is where you get in trouble if you think that you're going to change a man's mind. If a man tells you up front, look, I'm looking to just date and nothing serious, okay, run. You know, he just told you, I'm not looking for anything serious. But if he says, look, I'm looking for something that could potentially lead towards marriage. I don't want to force the issue. If it's there, I want to proceed. Then that's the brother you want to be with. But a lot of times we're afraid to ask the question. Mm-hmm. Women are afraid if they mention marriage and monogamy that they're going to lose the man. And I say you might as well ask early on when he's free to, you know, to say whatever, then wait 6 or 7, 8 months down the line and realize that he has no interest in marriage whatsoever.
We have another caller on the line calling in from the 713 area code. And I love those questions that you have in your book on chapter 6, with the questions, the 36 questions.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
Ladies,
you better get to know him.
If you don't get this book for any other reason, you need to get the book to find out what them questions are, because you definitely need to be asking them. Caller from the 713 area code, what's your name, please?
Hi, it's Roshana.
Hi, Roshana. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you. I want to get the book, and I'm sorry, but I haven't gotten the book. But I do have a question for Dr. Tart.
Okay. Go ahead, Roshana.
Okay. I think I wanted to know, on one of your lists, you mentioned where to go to meet guys.
Right.
And I mentioned at one time going to the golf course, but I went to the golf course with my dad.
Okay.
And you said that's not a place anybody would come up and talk to me. So I'm trying to figure out, well, who do I go with to these places, and what's wrong with going to the golf course with my dad? Is that intimidating to somebody? Or
absolutely.
I mean, well, it's. I thought it was like that
with her dad.
Exactly.
No, I mean, a man's not going to approach you in front of your dad.
Okay.
Does your dad look like your dad? And I said that because, like, with my oldest son, when we go out, people would think that he was my boyfriend. So does your dad look like he's your father, or would they think that he may be your boyfriend or something?
Oh, no, he looks like my father.
Okay. And that's intimidating because...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, men.
But I'm trying to figure out. I'm sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. But why do I want to go with some other women so I can have competition?
Oh, you had a croissant. Here we go. Let's get it started. There is no competition. There's no.
I understand.
I'm serious. Hold on now. When you see women as other competition, you send a message to other men that you are one of many. You're not dynamic. A dynamic woman has no competition. It is supreme confidence. when you go with other women, these are your girlfriends. Realize that all three of you can walk away with dates, you know, for the night. Or don't be afraid to go by yourself. When you go by yourself, they're going to think that you're serious about golf. Or maybe you're learning to play at the next company picnic. Or maybe you just want to take it up. You know, as soon as the man comes up, you do the flirting thing. It doesn't matter why you're there. But if you go with your dad, you know, even someone that's bold and assertive like myself is going to half step. I'm going to think, is that her dad? Maybe, you know, is that her sugar daddy? Are they a couple? Or if she's with her dad, I'm not going to sit there and interrupt and say, hey, can I talk to your daughter for a second? Excuse me. No way,
okay.
No how.
Okay. Well, I thought it's a little opposite of that. But I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. So when you go out, I mean, smile. Don't be afraid to approach men. What I mean by approach men, I don't mean go sit on their lap and completely reverse the dynamics. I mean, you see a nice-looking guy, Rashana, when you walk by, make direct eye contact. You know, slow down a little bit and smile and say hello and then double-speed walk. I can tell you, we don't get that kind of attention maybe once a month, maybe twice a month. It's completely changed. So a woman really look at you and flirt with you with her eyes and let you know, hey, I'm interested in you, but I'm dynamic. You're going to have to work hard to find out who I am.
But isn't that kind of long, like playing a game, like what you said not to do earlier?
No, it's not a game. It's showing interest. Men don't like to be rejected. And men are so starved for attention now because there are a lot of women that look intimidating, don't make eye contact, don't even speak. I go to a lot of mixes and I go to even, you know, club scenes. And you know, you can go to a club or a bar or a lounge, Christmas party, and men and women that don't know each other, you can go there the whole night and never speak to anyone other than your girlfriend. We don't naturally connect with each other anymore. When you walk up feeling like $1 million and you smile and you introduce yourself, a lot of times that man notices you for the first time because he's picking up on your spirit and your confidence, and then he'll do the rest. Any place that there are men, you smile. As soon as you walk in a room, you smile. Keep that smile on your face, and when they walk by, make direct eye contact and smile, and then keep moving and watch what happens. Your phone's going to be full of numbers.
Okay.
I'm serious, because men are looking for that attention, because we rarely get it.
Okay. I'll try it.
All right. I want to give
you a chance. But that was my dad.
Yeah. No,
okay.
Not dad.
No. Okay.
Ask your dad.
Did you ask your dad
if he would have talked to his wife, if her dad would have been there the first time they met. He'd say, heck no.
Okay. I'll be sure to do that.
Yeah, because it's a respect thing. You know,
okay.
You want to respect the father. It's not about being scared or timid. It's about, okay, I don't really want to, you know, try and talk to his daughter when they're out. This is disrespectful.
Okay.
Yeah, I tell your dad to go to the bathroom for like 30 minutes.
Okay.
And be sure to get the book and read the chapter.
And I thought I definitely am going to get the book, but I thought I was doing the right thing because I kind of like showed I had a good relationship with my dad. You know, I'm out there, you know. But anyway, but I see your point, and I'm going to give it a try, and I'm going to get the book.
All right, sounds good. Good luck.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. I love that chapter in the story where you talk about Karen, who ultimately learned to love herself unconditionally and to share that love with the world?
Oh, absolutely. That's the whole point of the book, is I want every woman to be like Karen. You know, Karen never has a problem finding a man. Men are looking for her. Men will fight each other to find a Karen. Men will marry a Karen, and every woman has, you know, a Karen inside of her. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to comment on, you know, Rashana that called in. You know, I can feel in my spirit that she's going to, you know, before this holiday season is over, she's going to find a good man. Let me tell you why. She's willing to think outside the box. She's willing to love a man like a wife. So I don't even know if she plays golf. But she's willing to go out there and at least try and learn. Do you know how many men would love to meet a woman that plays golf?
Hmm.
That is an absolute dream. It's almost like a woman that likes to watch football. They're like, oh, yeah. See, that's where you start dating in rare air. Now, you know, I'm not saying, you know, women have to change. But when you get in relationships, you have to kind of take on some of the things that your man likes.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you're laying the ground rules to make him go antiquing, you know, or other things that you like. Because he's like, look, my baby went out and played golf with me, even though I could tell she really, you know, she's not that good. You know, but the fact she went out there with me, I mean, I have no problems, you know, taking her to Jamaica, or I have no problems going shopping and looking for furniture, things. I'd rather stay at home and watch the game, but my baby gives me so much, I have no problem, you know, returning the favor.
Absolutely.
See, she's staying at a whole other level, except for the fact that she thinks she has competition.
Mm-hmm. That's why I suggested she read the chapter on Karen, because Karen learned to embrace the God's beauty within her and feed off of that beauty in others. And she didn't see other women as competition. She just saw the love that was in them and nurtured and brought that out of them. And one of the things what I was saying about when I go out with my older son, people think that he's my man. And that stopped
that
guys
means you look pretty young,
approaching
girl.
Me.
They think you have a tenderoni.
Huh?
They think you have a tenderoni on your arms.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they say. And as soon as he walked away, they would approach me. And, oh, well, I thought that was your boyfriend. I'm like, that's my son.
That's funny.
And that really bugs him. But we have another question from the chat room. And this person is asking your opinion on prenups. Would you propose prenuptials to your fiancé? Well, in other words, would you propose doing a prenuptial agreement with your fiancé?
Wow. That's a tough one. I don't know. I think I'm 50-50. I mean, in general, if you say a prenup, I mean, that's kind of like saying, you know, it's kind of like stepping into a vow with one foot in and one foot out. Because why would you need a prenup if you're safe for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, forever and always? There's really no need for a prenup. Yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and go with that position.
So a prenup is not necessary. And I guess it's a trust issue, too, because to me that's like an escape clause. You're looking for a way out before you really get into the relationship.
Yeah, you've already negotiated how you're going to break up. I mean, it's exactly what it is. I mean, I definitely understand where the call is coming from, because you definitely don't want to go through some mess, and, you know, especially if you've worked your life, your hard, you know, to build things for yourself, and you don't come into the relationship, I guess, equal as far as finances are concerned, you want to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say if you want to do a prenup, it's better just to date for a longer time until you're sure.
Absolutely.
Because that prenup just lays out, okay, I marry you, you know, I do, I kiss you, but let's go ahead and look at this prenup in case it doesn't work out. It doesn't make much sense. It makes it too easy to break up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it does. The complete package, you talk about that a lot, a woman being the complete package and everything that a man dreams of. But do the men really tell the women what they're looking for, and, you know, or do we get it through osmosis? You know, how do we know exactly what they're looking for if they don't tell us? And we haven't gotten around to asking all those questions yet. Or we ask the questions and they don't answer it, you know, they kind of hem-hum around answering it directly.
Well, one, you know, I'm all about, and like I say in the chapter, check under the hood. Soon as if you're looking to date towards monogamy, these are the kind of questions you need to ask early on in the relationship, and they should be 50-50. He should have just as many questions for you. Now, I don't mean the first date you go out, you start talking about marriage. I mean, that's going to scare men away because it seems like you're more interested in marriage than getting to know them. But if a man can't answer, you know, what are you looking for as an ideal wife, describe the qualities as far as the best woman ever, if he can't answer that, then I wouldn't date him. Because he doesn't even know what he's looking for. You know, most men are able to answer that question. And then you need to start taking notes as soon as he starts talking. Because he's going to tell you what he's looking for. And then you can decide if that's the kind of woman that you are, or if it was requiring you to change, you know, too much.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men will start to reveal things that make you go the other way or either draw you in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see a lot of women who date men, especially, you know, they're fairly attractive women, and they end up dating athletes or models or guys in the entertainment industry, and they have just ridiculous beauty standards for the women that they date. You know, if you gain 5 pounds, they are putting you on a diet, telling you what to eat when they go out. I mean, those are things that they'll reveal on the first date. That's why I included those questions because, you know, I'm a psychologist. So I'm saying, look, you can ask questions, and guys are going to tell you, and you can go home and lose a number and save yourself a lot of heartache.
Lose a number.
I'm seriously, you ask them, what's the ideal wife? And they'll start talking and saying, you know, a woman that's, you know, 5'5", 145 pounds, but she can never get over 148 otherwise, so that's fat, you know, they'll start talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can just start slowly crossing them out, you know, during the date. Because they're telling, I'm too superficial.
Okay, here's another question from the chat room. True or false? A strong connection does not necessarily equal an interest in a relationship. Just because you have a good connection, that doesn't necessarily mean that the person is interested in a relationship. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because it could just be a strong friendship. You know, there are people that you have a strong connection with at church, you know, within your family, friends that have been around for a long time. And I think sometimes we do confuse, you know, I've been guilty myself, a strong connection and saying, wow, maybe this is my soulmate. But if you pace it out, everything will be revealed, especially in 3 months. You know exactly where the relationship is going. So, yeah, I say true.
So do you think people get into relationships with ulterior motives, though?
Absolutely. Some people do. And you know what? We're sometimes to blame. When I say we, I mean family members. And I can tell you who has the worst time. Very attractive women. Because what happens, very attractive, successful women. So your professional woman who is absolutely gorgeous, she's expected to have a man. And the longer she goes without a man, the more, you know, her sorority sisters or her colleagues, even grandma, hey, you still single?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still single? Is there something that's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. And
you know, you go to the Christmas parties and everyone's looking. Mm-hmm. You know, grandma's like, look, baby, you know, you're getting older. You need to find a man. And they start putting pressure on women.
It is a lot of pressure in today's society to be a couple. And people, unfortunately, look at you like something is wrong. Either you're gay, bisexual, or whatever the case may be, and especially when you're older. It's like you're 50 years old and you ain't got a man yet. What's wrong with you?
You're right. So
why can't we just be content being single until Mr. Right comes along?
You're right. And that's why I think that's where you start to understand why we start rushing into relationships. Because the reality of the situation is, at first, that relationship is great. It's better than nothing. It's better than what you had.
Mm-hmm.
And you're happy, and you're thinking that it's going to build. But then you get caught up, and you have feelings for, you know, someone that you know you're not connected with, or they're so different from you, and it's not a complimentary difference. It's not that you appreciate the difference. It's the fact that you have to kind of just change the essence of who you are, you know, just to be with that person. Sometimes we compromise too much, and I understand that. And that's why I think we need to connect more as men and women as friends. We need to have more social outings, you know, as friends than we do now. Because right now, if you go out, you have to try and talk to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
A woman has to be interested in a man.
And I think the respect factor has to be there also. And I hate to say this, but I don't see that among, especially with our race. You know, the men respecting the women and the women respecting the men. I've seen relationships where the woman wants to be the man. She wants to wear the pants. The man wants to control her. They're talking, you know, very negatively to each other. You know, what's up with that? Where is the respect?
You're absolutely right. I think, you know, should I be interested in your thoughts and the caller's thoughts, is that I think the images in the media, you know, have really, really affected us. You know, if you look at movies, we're constantly yelling at each other. The music, especially the today's, you know, younger music, especially hip-hop, it's just derogatory. There's very few songs, you know, about love. There's very few love songs. There's lust songs. There's sex songs. But there are very few love songs and very few movies that ever hit mainstream where we see each other appreciating and loving one another the way it's supposed to be. We're yelling and we're screaming.
Right,
and
we have those images coming at us from booty everywhere, titty vision, you know, and that's what men, you know, and that's the image that, you know, unfortunately they see us as, just a sex object.
Yeah, and that actually hurts a lot of marriages. And I think that's why it's actually become, you know, a lot harder for couples to stay together. There's so much more temptation. You know, it's like a man going to a strip club. If he stays at a strip club, he can be fine. It's fairly easy for a man to stay at a strip club. But if he turns on his computer and sees some eye candy and he's not even looking, and then he's going to continue to search, and then before you know it, he's caught up in a situation he has no business in.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing for women.
Absolutely. I'm getting so many questions coming in the chat room right now. Somebody is asking, and this is pertaining to the woman, who does the controlling in the relationship?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Wait. That was my answer to her question. I don't know how to get back up there. But she was asking about control in a relationship. Why is control in a relationship such an issue? I guess the man is trying to control the woman or the woman is trying to control the man.
Well, first of all, the man, I mean, you want your man to be in control of the relationship. You want that. Especially black women. Especially women of color. They do not respect a man that cannot handle them. You know, they want to be a lot to handle, but ultimately they want their man to be able to handle them.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, look, Shirley, you know what, baby? I heard you. I got it. Okay? Enough is enough, baby. I'm not going to argue about this anymore. Let's just go on, watch the movie. We can talk about it tonight. You know, you need me to speak strongly but respectful because I need to maintain the storm because women in general are going to be more emotional. It's my job to be more rational but at the same time be able to handle your emotions the same way daddy does. That's how daddies handle their daughters. And that's what women are looking for. But when we get into this battle of control and power, if you don't recognize that the man is the head of the household, and I'm talking from a Christian standpoint,
mm-hmm.
I don't mean he's dominating you or you're subservient to him or that you're not equal. You're different. But at the same time, you bring different things to the table. Men are looking for that respect. They command that respect. And they don't need a woman challenging him saying, if you were a man or if you stepped up, I wouldn't have to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to respect your man's position.
At the same time,
we have to be worthy of that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to prove that we are worth and able to be the man in the relationship and that we're going to defer to you. You know, if you're better at something, we have no problem saying, hey, baby, you know, take care of this. And you see that in married couples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before the guy gets married, you ask him, hey, you know, where do you keep, you know, the Worcestershire sauce? And he's like, oh, top cabinet to the left. And then when he gets married, you ask him, hey, you know, what are you doing this weekend? He's like, I don't know. Let me ask my wife. Baby, are we doing anything this weekend? She has complete control and management of the relationship, even with very successful, financially stable men. A lot of them come home and get their paycheck to their wives
mm-hmm.
and have no problem with it because she's gained that loyalty. When they were dating, even if he made mistakes, she stayed loyal. Even if she knew, you know, real estate better than he did, she stayed loyal because she knew ultimately she was going to have the whole keys to the kingdom anyway. You know, but there are a lot of professional women that come in and battle, and they're, you know, corporate bosses, they're CEOs at work, but they can't turn off when they come home.
Absolutely, and that's the ego part of
yeah.
that.
And you'll lose out. You know, when you come home, we have to switch. You know, roles, you know, and so does the woman. And when you do that, then the relationship can thrive. There's no battle for control. You actually complement one another. Iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely. I'd like to give out the call-in number again for those who wish to call in with a comment or a question for Dr. Tartt. The number is 646-716-5180. And another question in the chat room is, they're saying, Dr. Tartt, I believe the real reason why men are attracted to women is because of how they feel with you. What do you think?
Oh, that's a deep point. I get a chat room many props, you know. That's right. Let's talk about lovemaking, okay? So when you start, it's not about having sex. It is about lovemaking. And when you're in love and you are making love specifically to that person, I mean, you love him for him, you love her for who she is, and you're communicating that spiritually, that's the kind of thing that keeps couples together. That's the kind of thing that takes the relationship, you know, over the edge, is because you are in love with them and that you are showing them. You know, it's a dynamic woman makes a man better. He is less of a man when she leaves his life. And you see that happen a lot of times in divorce. You see both parties, you know, eager to separate, but look at them 6 months down the line. Look at them a year down the line. Usually both of them are a lot weaker. It takes time for them to repair. Even though they were going through mess and there's more peace, when you start looking at their lives, especially a man, Oh, my goodness. You go to his house and be like, yeah, a woman hadn't been here in years. There's not a woman's touch. He's not well managed. You know, usually certain things in his life are out of whack. He's so out of balance, he's working all the time. You know, he lacks balance. That's why we need each other. Same thing with women. That's why, you know, men and women are created as the perfect complement. And when you date and you have an air that I am going to give all of myself and you give it to your partner, when you get with a partner that appreciates that and gives of himself, that's why the relationship is 10 times better than being single.
Why do you think some women sometimes dumb down in relationships to be with a man?
Why? Well, you know what I think? Just lack of access to men that can stimulate them. You know, you think about it. I mean, if you're a professional woman, corporate woman, depending on which city you live in, I'll be honest. You know, you may go months before you meet another eligible, you know, male that's in the same position. And especially if you don't get out, you know, and about and hit up different conferences where you can meet men that are, quote, unquote, equally yoked. There are a lot of women that are afraid of intimidating the man and making him insecure because they're too smart or too dominant. And I say, look, you know, a confident man is actually going to actually respect the fact that you can upgrade him and improve him. He can learn something. But when you date insecure men and then they need you to dummy down, that's a recipe for disaster. Because you can't fake dumbness for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's not about how, you know, they're couples in which one party is a doctor, you know, and another one didn't graduate from college. But their love, their godly love for one another is strong. It's not just about that. They connect. You know, it's about that spiritual connection.
Absolutely.
And respecting each other.
Here's another, and they're talking about compromising in a relationship, and that goes back to that control issue that we had talked about earlier. And you do have to compromise to some extent.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to have it all your way, then you need to be by yourself.
Somebody
because
said,
you'll agree with yourself 100% of the time.
To be enlightened said, whoop, there it is.
I'm serious. A lot of people say they want to be in relationships. When you start talking about change, they're like, oh, absolutely not. Just say you don't want to be in a relationship. You know, because a relationship requires you to give up 50% of yourself.
Absolutely.
The only way you're going to gain another person in your life is if you give up something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may not like going to play golf in the morning, but, your man is asking you to come play with him. All right, you have to give up your Saturday mornings for him. You know, and then he's going to give up maybe his Sunday nights watching the 8 o'clock game, you know, so that he can spend Sunday night dinners, you know, romantically with you.
We have another caller on the line calling in from the 713 area code. Who am I speaking to, please? Hello.
I'm sorry, it's still me. I was trying to listen on my computer, but I was having problems, so I had to call back in. I'm just listening.
Oh, that's okay. Keep on listening then. Gosh, we got so many questions coming in.
I'm ready. Come on.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. I believe a man who is clear about his purpose and clear about what he wants to create in his lifetime will also be clear about how a woman fits into it.
Oh, absolutely. That is so true. And that is why you see a lot of men hesitate even when they found the woman that they want to be with. So now they've been dating for, you know, 8-9 months, and he's convinced he wants to marry her. Then he starts looking at his life for the first time. He's like, look, I want to be a stronger husband than I am a boyfriend. And that means I have to upgrade. That means I have to let some of the lady friends go. That means especially I have to have my finances in place. I can't tell you how many women I talk to and say, be patient. He's in love with you. He is trying to get his finances in place. You know, that is why all of a sudden when the relationship kicked up, that's why he started working hard. Because, one, he's saving up for the ring, okay, and that costs a lot of money. Two, he's saving up for the honeymoon, you know. And three, he has to be at a point where he feels confident that he can maintain and hold things down as a husband because he needs to feel like the man and feel confident in asking for your father's hand in marriage. Because most fathers are going to ask, you know, about your faith and about your finances. They're not going to
do
it directly. They're going to say, you know, son, are you able to do that? Are you able to take care of my daughter and the family? And when a father tells a young man, are you able, we know that they're talking about from a maturity standpoint as well as a financial standpoint.
Mm.
And so a lot of men know that, and they immediately start getting their finances together.
Mm.
And if they're not where they are, if they're not where they want to be financially, you know, they will actually back up on a relationship and go double speed on the finances so that they can move forward towards marriage. But we have to communicate that.
Mm-hmm. To be enlightened, added an interesting comment to the chat room. He's let me get this out of here. He said, want to be in a relationship, but wait, don't know how. Oh, he's talking about putting on airs while doing a relationship before it leaves the station.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you fake, people can read that. You know, and a lot of women do that. A lot of women who are interested in men don't act like they're interested because they say, I don't want to be too available. I don't want to be too emotionally caught up. And that's a good thing to pace yourself. But men need some type of feedback that you're feeling them. I have men come up to me all the time and give me scenarios just as a psychologist and say, what do you think? And I see exactly what they're talking about. There are a lot of women that have kind of a take-it-or-leave-it attitude on the outside. You know, we'll see where the relationship goes. But inside, they are so lonely, and they are looking for love, but they do not show it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not robots. We need to know that you're interested. We need to know that you're feeling us. We need to know that you're attracted to us.
But do you think that's a trust issue also because that person may have been hurt in the past and they don't want to feel vulnerable by revealing those emotions or expressing them?
You know, it could be. Or it could be the fact that, you know, women have forgotten that men need, you know, attention. And we need feedback when it comes to flirting, and we need that softness. A woman who's an excellent flirt always has men. Always. She will go someplace and meet five men, you know, in the amount of time it takes another woman to meet one. And that's because she's outgoing and she's happy. That's another thing. You know, the best way to have men attract, the best way to attract men, and this goes back to the old club thing, men always ask women to dance that look like they know how to dance. You know, I'm serious. That's a good analogy for a relationship. If you look like you'd be an excellent partner in a relationship, men are going to come up to you. You know, if I'm in the club and my song comes on, you know what, and you're moving like you know how to move what you have, you look like you're fun, you're smiling, those women always get asked to dance. But a woman that doesn't look like she's having much fun, is not confident in her body, doesn't know how to move, she's going to sit there all night. We are never going to approach her.
How many men do you think use your book?
You know what? A lot of men, by surprise, a lot of men have picked the book up.
Mm-hmm.
And they pick it up from listening to shows like this. Or they'll hear me speak, or they'll come with their sister, or they'll come with their wife, and they'll end up buying the book, and they say, look, I'm going to buy get this from some colleagues, or I'm going to pass it along to my girl, I'm just going to leave it on the coffee table, because I try and tell her the same things, and she doesn't listen to me. Maybe if she hears it from you, things will improve. And that's why I wrote this book, believe it or not. I'm really writing it for the fellas.
Mm.
You know, I'm saying, you know, being on the dating scene, there are a lot of beautiful women. But there are very few women that are dating like wives. You know, and men complain about it. There are a lot of men out there that are looking to settle down, and the only reason that they don't is that they have not been approached by women who are looking to date them strong. And I know as I say this, the men in the chat room and men all over that are listening are shaking their heads. And that's the one thing that women just don't know. We talk about it in the barbershop. We talk about it in church. We talk about it when we're watching the game together. We talk about, hey, you know, there's a shortage of women that are dating the way our grandmothers dated our grandfathers.
But do you think that they should be having the guys should be having that conversation at some point in a relationship with a woman who they think has the potential of becoming their wives instead of, like, read my mind, read my lips, you know, ain't you picking up on the signals?
No, you're right. You're right.
You know,
we're not the best communicators.
Guys need to be a little more verbal.
Yes, we do.
And expressing that to a woman instead of like, and to me that's like leading her along, you know. Why have that element of mystery there? If you know this woman has the potential of being your wife, at that point, open up the lines of communication. It's like, look, baby, you know, we've been going together 22 years or, you know, 3 years, and I really like you, and I'm interested in us, you know, maybe taking that next step to becoming husband and wife. But these are some of the things that I have a problem with. You know, I have an issue with you trying to control everything. I have an issue with you spending all your money like that, or, you know, you don't keep the house clean. Or I would really appreciate it if you cook, you know, a home-cooked meal instead of just throwing one of those Swanson dinners in the microwave. You know, don't you think at some point they should take the initiative? And that would be encouraging to a woman. Because, you know, as women, you know, we don't know. Only thing we have is our own experience to go on, other than reading. You know, everybody doesn't come from middle-class suburbia. And our role models are our parents for the most part. And so when we enter in a relationship with a person, you know, because women are emotional creatures anyway. And so especially when they get a good guy, it's like, I really like this guy. I really want to make it work. You know, and then, you know, how do you get to that point? Or for the men, when do they get to that point? When do they feel comfortable enough to have that kind of a conversation with a woman?
Well, one, the woman has to make him feel comfortable that you're going to receive it. There are a lot of men that do communicate, and they get eaten up. You know, there are a lot of women that are very defensive, very sensitive, and sometimes we don't say it the right way, so it's a dance. You know, it's all in how you say things, you know. So if I want you to lose weight and I say, hey, baby, let's go work out today. I'm trying to get myself together. You know, I'm going to work on this, and you can work out whatever you want to work on. That's completely different than saying that you're fat. You know, a woman's not going to respond to that. So as men, we have to take responsibility to give feedback in a manner in which it can be received. The woman's responsibility is to be able to receive constructive criticism without going off on the man. I can tell you, there are a lot of men that will say, the conversation will go something like this. Look, baby, you know, I have no problem with us settling down and possibly getting married, but I need you to stop trying to control me. And the woman will respond, I wouldn't have to control you if you acted like a man or if you had some sense. I wouldn't have to control you if you handled your business all the time. I wouldn't have to control you if you did A, B, and C. And so you know what we do as men. We catalog that, and we just don't bring it up again. We realize we're not going to win verbally, so we're not going to say anything. Mm-hmm. And we just become silent and
I'm
distant.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller on the line. I can't keep up with this chat room, Dr. Tartt. I am so
That's good.
On page 5
now. We need to get it percolating. It's Saturday night. I want the ladies going out and flirting and, you know, and emailing you back. You know, to invite me back, saying that, you know, they're having so much success with the men.
I would love to do that, have you
I'm
back.
I'm serious.
We have about 17 minutes. I can't believe time has gone by that fast. We have about 17 minutes left, and we do have a caller on the line, though.
Okay.
Caller, do you have a question or a comment for Dr. Tartt?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, Good we can name. Hear you. Ah.
No, I was about to, I guess I was going to make a comment. I was going to comment on the way that you exhibited that role play between a guy and a girl, and I was going to say that if you acted the same way that you acted, which seemed to be fine to me, if a man was actually very expressive, very sincere, and talked about the things the way that you did, then pretty often the girl isn't going to respond. Constructive criticism or not, there's a feminine ego in there that's going to be involved. And Dr. Tartt,
what are you referring to, though? What comment? What statement?
When you were doing your role playing, when you were saying, you know, honey, I think you and I could settle down, get married, but you know, maybe every once in a while you could do a home cooked dinner instead of throwing the Swanson microwave garbage into the microwave. And the way that you were doing it was right. It was good. But then Dr. Tartt commented before I got on the line, I was going to say, there's going to be plenty of times you try to do that, and the girl's going to say, are you nuts? You know, so after you get a few of those, are you nuts? And after you also hear, well, what we like are sensitive men, and when you try to be a sensitive man, and the girl says, nah, I'm not dealing with this, and then you get a little bit confused. So, you know, that's my opinion on that.
No, he's right. He's right. I mean, now, I know as men, you know, we're strange creatures, but women are truly strange creatures because they want that intersection of a man who's not too sensitive, because if he's too sensitive, he's not a man, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see a man crying every day, or you don't want to be able to run over your man. Because sometimes to avoid conflict, we'll go ahead and we'll give in to women. You know, I've been guilty of that myself, and it backfired, you know, to where, look, you know, I know she's being ridiculous. I know she's being slightly manipulative, but let me go ahead and give in just to keep peace, and then you look up later and you've created a monster, you know.
Absolutely.
That's constantly doing that. You know, at the same time, you don't want to be too dominant and be too ignorant of that women have fragile egos. I mean, men, I know the caller's going to agree, you know, we sometimes rehearse what we're going to say because sometimes it's so hard to be real without hurting the woman's feelings.
I don't really care. I try to be straight. Now, you gave an example, Dr. Todd, about you think you can't call a woman fat. Well, you can.
No, you can't, man. Not to live and love another day, man. They never forget that.
Now, let me give you an example. If a woman says to me, you know, she's a size 9, and she's trying to fit herself into a size 6 dress. So, you know, she's squeezing out of everything. And she says to me, how do I look? I'm going to say, you look all right. I'm not going to say you look good because I'm not that kind of person. I think if a woman's a woman, she ought to take on the responsibility of being a mature woman, able to handle the truth, able to give the truth. So I'm going to say you look okay. So if she says again, after she's trying to squeeze herself in again, how do I look? I'm going to say, okay. Now if she says the third time, how do I look? I'm going to say, you look fat. Get used to it. You don't belong in a size 6 dress. And you shouldn't be asking me the third time. Because that's your responsibility. Be a woman. Just like I'm a man, I should be a man. Accept the truth and give the truth.
Now, see,
don't,
that's what we,
you know?
That's where we differ. You know, and that's where you're going to probably get shot in the parking lot. You know?
I'm not going to get shot by anybody. What I'm going to do is tell her straight because that's the kind of woman I want.
But you know
what?
I don't want somebody
dancing around.
But see, you know, that's not how women are made. See, you and I can have that conversation. I can say, hey, look, man, how's this look? And you're like, it's straight. And I can ask you again. And then eventually you're going to say, all right, since you keep asking me, man, the shirt is terrible mainly because you don't work out. And if you worked out, the shirt would fit. Men can talk that way and be direct, and we can still go out and kick it and have a good time because we talk to each other and we hold each other accountable like that. Similar to sports, similar in business.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this from relationship and business. You can't even talk to a woman in business that way. You know, they are different. You know, so
well,
when she's saying I can't fit into this, you know, a better way to go about doing it is joking and saying, yeah, maybe I need to make the dress, you know, to fit your body or something. Or maybe we can come back in 3 months and that dress will fit, you know.
Even that, you know the girl's going to say, huh? What are you talking about?
But you know, you're being real. You know, the way I learned how to talk to, because I used to get in trouble for being real. I mean, you asked, you know, and I tell, and then I still get in trouble. And it's a lose-lose situation.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed how girlfriends respond to other girlfriends when they ask the same question. A lot of times what they do is they try that little hesitation technique. So, for instance, she'll ask, how do you like these shoes?
Mm-hmm.
And her girlfriend won't like them. And she'll say, well, what do you think? And then she'll say, I think they're a little too bright. And you say, yeah, you probably can use another color. So I just copy.
Well, that's a good way of doing it. I mean, you get to the point and you're telling the truth. But I'm saying that even if you are nice and tender and light, eventually it still won't work with the vast majority of women.
Well, you know, it will because they kind of know what they're asking. You know, they know that their body needs to change. If they feel comfortable enough asking you about the dress, they're really looking for support. They're not really looking for us to tell the truth, even though that's how it sounds as a man.
Well, let me tell
you,
if a woman wants to be my equal, then she has to be my equal. I don't have to accommodate somebody who wants to take on the mentality of being a little girl. You're a woman. Take on the truth. Give me the truth. If you're going to tell me that my hair doesn't look good because I combed it the wrong way or my pants don't match my shirt, I'm going to say, all right, I don't like hearing it, but you're right.
But you know what? Again, it's the way that you answer those questions. You can be diplomatic. You can get your point across and be diplomatic. That makes all the difference in the world. I mean, you said that you're direct, you're straight, to the point, or whatever. Granted, that's okay. But knowing that women are sensitive beings, you know, it's a way to say certain things. And that
I agree that you
difference.
Have to be diplomatic, but women, you got to grow up.
No. Like, let me step in. let me step in. See, that's when we start changing one another and not understanding who we are. It's the best way to look at it is look at it like the same way you tell your daughter. You know, if your daughter comes up to you and say, hey, Daddy, are these jeans too big for me? You know, you would say it with a completely different mindset. And we forget that, just like I say, men are babies and little boys, women are little girls. They want their husband to be very similar to Daddy and be able to take care of them. So you can still be honest and say, look, baby, you know what? I'll be honest. You know, that dress, it's not the most flattering, you know, on your body, you know. And we're going to go and we're going to shop all day long until we find the dress that's complimentary to you. What's going to happen when you get home? She's going to say, you know what, baby, thank you for taking me shopping. I know I'm too big, and I appreciate you not throwing that in my face. I'm going to go working out so I can get my sexiness back for you.
Where are these women?
They're out there. They're on the line.
All right. Well, as I said before, my example, after three times. Now, I'm not going to tell somebody, you know, you're fat and you're ugly and you smell the first time somebody asks me something. You know, I'm not going to be obnoxious or insulting. But after the third time, that's my threshold. Now, I can be diplomatic. I can be funny. I just don't want a woman who has to insist that every time an opinion is called for, I have to accommodate some sort of fairy princess mentality. Well, I'm sensitive. I'm made out of porcelain. Please don't hurt me. No. You're a woman. excuse me. You're with me. I'm with you. You know who I am. I know who you are. And you know if I'm going to tell you something, it's not meant to hurt you, but I'm not going to dance around the roseberry bush.
Well, you have to dance. I mean, you don't have to dance, but you have to be delicate. The same way as if we're looking for a woman, and we may have insecurity issues, okay?
Right.
And when she's with us, she should innately know. If she's a great woman, she's a dynamic woman, she knows to make love to us to where when we finish, we know that
she's in love with
us.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. You brought up a good point. Let me give you, let me put myself on the other foot. Let's say, for example.
Hold on. Can you put that other foot in like less than a minute? Because we have about
eight
minutes of the show, and I'd like to get at least one or two questions from the chat room in.
All right, this will be a quick example.
All right, thank you.
Okay, men don't like to be told that they're small, right?
Right.
Now, suppose I'm with my woman, and for a second time, and she says, and I say to her, how was it? She says, not bad. Anything bothering you? Not really, but I'm kind of used to, like, bigger men. All right? Now, of course, I'm not going to be devastated. I'm not going to like it, but if I know her long enough, well enough, I asked her, she told me, and if I know she's been with me, yes, she likes something bigger, but she's still with me, I'm going to say, I'm doing something right. Maybe it's not the 24 inches that she's used to.
Hello?
Yeah, I think the call dropped.
Oh, I think so. One of the questions in the chat room is the man really looking for a total package? Is there such a thing? And then the second part of that is, when dating, what do men consider a deal breaker if they aren't the total package?
Oh, wow. Okay, for the first question, absolutely there's a total package, and every man is looking for it. They end up marrying that total package. That's what they go around and shop for. That's why men work out. That's why men, to be honest, you know, when they get to a certain point financially, they feel that they're much more eligible as a bachelor to find that perfect woman. Absolutely we're looking for a perfect a total package. That woman that can deal with mom, that woman that can take care of the kids, that woman that can still be sexy and make love to us and make us feel like a king, you know, that woman that can still communicate her feelings and still be professional at work, you know, and deal with our egos. Every man is looking for a dynamic woman because it makes us better. Absolutely. And what was the second question?
The second part of that question, what's the deal breaker if he can't find the total package? When dating, what do men consider a deal breaker if the person isn't the total package?
Oh, wow, deal breakers. Disrespect, okay, disloyalty. Some men, well, it's more superficial, but like the smoking, you know, some, you know, depends on your preferences. But in general, disloyalty, I mean, that's probably number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men do not date and do not like women who are disloyal. Oh, absolutely. That's every man's fear, to be cheated on. And even you can be disloyal by talking about him to your girlfriend. You know, he can hear you on the phone complaining about what he's not. Oh, men hate that. You know, keep your negative comments, you know, to yourself. And they also want respect. Men don't like women who disrespect them. It's one thing to be outspoken and to communicate your feelings, but at no point is disrespect tolerated, especially when it comes to men. They just don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a deal breaker.
to be enlightened commented on that last call. He said, I understand what the caller is saying, but it's all in the delivery.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think we kind of reiterated that.
And that's where he was going. You know, you don't want your woman being completely brutally honest to you either. You know, like, yeah, you didn't do anything for me.
And for him, that's a number one deal breaker.
Yeah. So yeah.
Well, they're saying in the chat room, Dr. Tart, that they want you back on the show.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. They can come with all kinds of questions. They
and
anonymous names. I'm ready to get them.
I can't keep up with it. I'm sure. And I apologize to you guys in the chat room. I've got a lot of experience out of this, so hopefully next time I'll be more prepared to deal with this chat room and talking to you simultaneously as well. Because I didn't get in a lot of things that I wanted to say. I have like 6 pages of stuff
let's do it again. You're going to have to get an assistant like they do, you know, at the radio station. They don't do it all either.
I'm learning. I know. I really do need somebody to monitor the chat rooms while I do that. That way I can focus on the conversation that we're having. But that's okay. You know, it's all
part of the process. Similar to most women, you pulled it off. You multitasked. You know, I couldn't tell that you were struggling, so... You pulled it off, and you pulled it off well. But that's what women do. They multitask. That's why we need you in our lives.
But I'd like to try to get this one question in because we have about 4 minutes left on the show.
Okay.
And you talk a lot about when a man, you know, if you have sex too early in a game, the man puts you in a box, and it's kind of hard to overcome that. But once they put you in that box, you know, if you've had sex too soon, is there any way for them to change their mind? You know, mm-hmm.
Yes, I didn't. Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people don't ask me that question. Is that it's nothing is all or nothing. It's more like if you all in the moment and you end up having sex too soon, the main thing is to reestablish the friendship and call it what it was. It was like, look, it was a wonderful night, but we know we can't build a relationship on that. I mean, it was awesome. We're gonna do it again when the time is right. But let's focus on these dates. You got to exercise some self-discipline. You know, don't invite me to a dark movie and start rubbing on my knee, you know. Let's go out to eat. Let's go do something fun. Let's go to an amusement park, you know. Let's see each other before 10 o'clock at night. Let's not spend the night over one another's house. Let's get back to the strict rules of dating so that when that moment comes again, we know it's real.
You have to set those boundaries and stick to them.
That's
right.
Don't
compromise.
So you can recover? Absolutely.
Okay. Now, one more thing, I'd like, because I was in a restaurant the other day, and it was these very beautiful young girls in there, maybe 16, 15 years old, around that age range. One of the girls was flirting with every guy that came in there, and when I came in, she was making eye contact, smiling back and forth to the guy that was sitting in front of me, and then as soon as another group of young men came in, she started flirting with them. So, what would you say to these young girls who don't really know how to be in any kind of a relationship? You know, only thing they know, and this is the booty everywhere, titty vision, television generation, you know, the MTV generation.
Right.
So all they know is to use their femininity to attract a man. And they don't realize that they're setting themselves up, you know, they're setting a dangerous pattern and precedent for themselves.
But you're right. You're absolutely right. That's why the next book is going to be, you know, for young girls about how to date. We can't blame them because that's what they hear on the radio. That's what they hear on TV, and that's what they hear us as men say. We say we're looking for sex. We say we're looking for this. And she's just now probably developed, and she sees the power that a woman has when she looks at a man a certain way, and he looks at her and he's sexually attracted to her. She's probably addicted to that, you know. Unfortunately, she's going to get involved in relationships and learn the hard way that just because a man is sexually attracted to you doesn't mean that he's interested in you in a relationship. And there are a lot of adult women need to understand that. Because, yeah, I can tell you all this stuff on the telephone, you know, and then, you know, go on a date. And if you flirt with me hard enough, you may get a response, but then a week later, you know, you have your feelings hurt. And I'm saying, oh, my goodness. The woman's power is so great, especially if she's confident in who she is.
Sometimes, we got 90 seconds left.
Yeah, even a good man makes mistakes. So, yeah, bring me back on. So I want to tell all the callers, go out, tell your friends to pick up my book, The Ring Formula, How to Marry Mr. Right. You're going to be dating stronger in a matter of days as soon as you finish the book. Just tell me what men are looking for. You can get it at Amazon.com. All right, just key in The Ring Formula. Or you can get it at my website at drtart.com. That's drtart.com. And they can either email me at drtart@drtart.com with their personal questions.
I feel empowered already just from the six or seven chapters that I've read. I have a couple of more chapters. And those questions, if you don't get the book for any other reason, get it to find out what those questions are.
Oh, it's going to save them a lot of heartache. A psychologist is going to open them up for them.
Most definitely. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being on the show, Dr. Trott. I really, really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me. Ladies, get your heels and your dresses out and go out there and get them. Mr. Wright's coming for you.
Absolutely, and thank you so much. And we definitely have to do this again.
Hey, anytime.
How's your little princess doing?
Oh, awesome.
How was the wedding?
Oh, it was awesome. Awesome.
You didn't catch that garter, did you?
Oh, absolutely not.
Thank you so much. You have a terrific day.
All right, thank you. God bless.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.